Let's join the worship center at Life Church, where the service is already in progress.
We're talking about discipleship right now and how God wants disciples. He doesn't want us to be just babies our whole life. Those of you who are parents, you want your kids to grow. I mean, you love them to death, but you don't want them in your house when you're 40. You want your kids to grow. You know, there's a psychological syndrome called failure to launch. And it's when children just don't launch out of their house. They just stay there. They just come back. I mean, you empty the nest and you fill it back up again. And then you think you got it emptied and then here we go. It comes back again. It's failure to launch. And many people in the body of Christ have failure to launch syndrome. They come to Christ and they ask God to forgive them of their sins and they have salvation. And remember, when we come to Christ, when we come to know Jesus as our Savior and we ask Him to forgive us and we come into a personal relationship with Him, we're like a baby. We don't know what we're doing. We got to learn. Like those of you who have babies, they don't know what they're doing. They act a hot mess. They're screaming one minute, eating the next, pooing the next, spitting up all over the place, pulling out everything you own. And when we come to know Jesus and come into personal relationship with Him, in the beginning we're kind of like a baby. You know, we mess it up and then we get back up again and then we mess it up again and then we spit up here and then, you know, we messed up and pooed over there and, you know, we're working this thing out. But there comes a point in a time when your children get potty trained and they praise God for that and then they learn how to put their toys up and then they learn how to clean their room and they learn how to feed their own self. They learn how to drive a car. Woo! They learn how to learn and how to educate themselves so they don't have to be spoon-fed every single bit. And then they get more and more independent, and then they learn how to be out on their own, manage their own money, buy their own groceries, pay their own way. Hallelujah. But in the body of Christ, it's the same. The only difference is that growth is a choice. In the body of Christ, when we come into that relationship with God, and we come to Him as a newborn baby, we have a choice to grow. Growing doesn't happen automatically. If you have a baby, growing happens whether you want it to or not. You can try to keep all those little baby years forever. But growing happens whether we want to or not. But in our spirit, growing is a choice. And part of becoming a disciple is choosing to get out of that baby stage of Christianity where you're just messing and gomming everywhere and learning what the next step is. Learning how to be independent in Christ. Learning to depend on Him and to trust Him and lean on Him. But learning to grow deeper and learning to grow up in Him. God wants us to grow. He longs for us to grow. He doesn't want us to be failure to launch kids. God wants us to be His disciple. And when we talk about discipleship, we're talking about maturing in Christ. We're talking about growing up, growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to be my disciple," notice that He said anyone, meaning it doesn't matter what your background was, it doesn't matter who your parents were, it doesn't matter if you had any parents, it doesn't matter what nationality you are, it doesn't matter what country you come from, it doesn't matter. God says, "If anyone desires to be my disciple," so we can be God's disciple. We can come to Him. He makes it available for all of us. If anyone desires to be my disciple, let him first deny himself. Oh, that's tough to do. Deny yourself. Put away your own lust and desires. Disregard, lose sight of, forget himself and his own interests. take up his cross and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me. Conform wholly to my example in living and, if need be, in dying also. So what is Jesus saying to his group? You know, Jesus himself had people in different various walks of their belief in him. He had those who absolutely did not believe that he was the Son of God. The religious people of the day. They just did not believe. The Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, they did not believe. Or else they wouldn't have come against him all the time. Then he had the crowd that kind of hung out and followed him everywhere he went just to see what would happen. And today, in the body of Christ, we have those who don't believe, who are outside of the body, and then we have those who, hey, I kind of believe, you know, but I'm just going to hang out and see what happens. And those are the church-going people that are good people but never go deeper with God. They'll come to see what happens and come for a bean supper and come for a cornbread and come for, you know, all the events and the programs and to do their weekly duty and get their Bible belt buckled for the week. But they don't have interest in going deeper with God. Then there's the ones that are a little bit more committed. You know, at one point in Jesus' life, he sent out the 70. He commissioned them and told them to go. They're a little bit more committed. They're willing to put in a little bit more work. They're willing to do a little bit more and go a little bit deeper. And we have those in the body of Christ who are willing to dig in a little bit deeper and do a little bit more, maybe volunteer for a ministry in the church, get plugged in somewhere, serve people outside of the community, help with the food pantry, something like that. And then Jesus had his 12 who followed him everywhere, who were basically attached at the hip. There are only a few times in the record of the Gospels where Jesus was by himself without the 12. They were with him. They were his people, his tribe. They were his disciples. See, God doesn't want us to be outside unbelieving. He doesn't want us to be just in the crowd trying to see what's going to happen next. I don't know what these people are going to do next, so I need to keep tabs on them. He doesn't want us to just show up and volunteer and, you know, here I'm plugged in. He wants us to be joined up with him. He wants us to be cleaving unto him, connected with him. Losing sight of our own interests. Forgetting our own interests. That's what the 12 did. They followed him everywhere they went. They left their occupation. Now, I'm not telling you to go quit your job on Monday. You do what God tells you to do. But it's a different level of commitment. God is looking for a different level of commitment from us. Not just in the crowd showing up to see what's going to happen. Not just volunteering and whatever, but he wants us joined up with him, taking up our cross and following him, cleaving steadfastly to him, conforming wholly to his example. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and driven out demons in your name and done many wonder and mighty works in your name? And then I will also say to them openly and publicly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who act wickedly, disregarding my commands. So that's important to note. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But those who will enter heaven are the ones who do the will of the Father who's in heaven. It's not just enough to know about Jesus. We've got to grow in Christ. It's not just enough to have head knowledge about the Bible. We must have heart knowledge of who He is and heart knowledge of who He wants us to be in Him, following His commands. So the choice is ours. We can choose to grow or we can choose to stay the same. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be just in the crowd. I don't want to be just volunteering, biding my time. I want to be joined up with Him. I want to be doing the will of our Father. So we have a choice to make this morning. Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth to witness this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessings and the curses. Therefore, choose life, that you and your descendants may live. So God has set before us a choice this morning. He said, I put before you life or death, the blessings or the cursings. Yes, cursings. We don't think about that. Many times in our circles today, we just think about all the blessings and all the things that we get and all this and that. And we look at God more as a gumball machine than a spiritual father, where we put in the right amount of change and out pops a blessing. Now, God does bless His children. He does prosper His children. He loves us and He wants the best for us. But we don't need to get caught up in the gumballs. We need to get caught up in the Creator. I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. Choose life. Why does God allow bad things to happen? You know, that will be have to be a conversation that we have with God when we get there. But He set before us two options, life and death. What are the people of the world choosing? What are we choosing? We have the choice. He set before us two paths, life, death, blessings, cursings. I've set this choice before you. And then He said, therefore choose life. Don't choose death. Don't choose to be away from me. Don't choose to be apart from me. Choose life. Jesus says in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But then Jesus said, and this is red letter if you have one of those red letter editions of your Bible. That means Jesus said it. He said, but I have come that you may have and enjoy your life. Have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. That's the kind of God life that He wants for us. Now, whether we choose that kind of life or not is on us. He sets before us life or death. Why do bad things happen? What are we choosing? Who are we following? Like we talked about last week, are we behind the wrong 15-passenger van? You know the story last week. You know, we were going to camp, had a caravan of 15-passenger vans going, heading past Dallas. This is the Cliff Note version for those who missed it. And the second van got behind the wrong 15-passenger van, and we lost him. Because they thought it looked like the right van. It had all the markings of the one that we had rented and that we were taking with us. But something wasn't right about it. It wasn't the right van. The contents weren't right. The people inside of it weren't right. And many times in life, we get behind the wrong 15-passenger van. It looks good on the outside. It looks like God on the outside. It's got all the markings of God. But the contents, what's on the inside, ain't right. And it looks good, but it's not God. We got to quit following the wrong 15-passenger van. I've set before you life and death. What are you going to choose? Which van are you going to hook up to and caravan this life out with? Choose life that you and your descendants might live. You know, you're not just making that choice right now for you. You're making that choice for the generations after you. Because the Old Testament tells us that the sins of the fathers are passed down generations. You're not only making this choice for yourself. You're making this choice for a legacy for your children's children's children's. Choose life that you and your descendants might live. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we gonna serve the Lord. Choose life so that you can be an influence of godliness in your household. You look at your children and tell them, choose life so that they don't go and repeat some of the same mistakes that you made growing up. Why? Because the sins of the fathers are passed down. Choose life so that you can break that cycle in your bloodline and say, this stops right here at the blood of Jesus. Choose life so that you and your descendants might live. Every single choice that we make is a seed that we sow, and those seeds will produce life or produce death. Every single choice is a seed that we sow. A choice to be a kind to someone. A choice to do good to somebody else. A choice to love the unlovable. A choice to bless your enemies instead of curse your enemies. Every single choice is a seed that you sow, and those seeds will produce a harvest in your life. Well, how are we going to choose life? We need the wisdom of God. James 1:5 says, if any of you are deficient in wisdom, it's okay not to know. Just don't be like, have you ever tried to explain to something to somebody that just didn't want to hear it? You knew they were wrong. You knew that it was absolutely not correct at all. And you tried to say, well, 2 + 2 really does equal 4. It don't equal 6. But they didn't want to hear it. They were like, it equals 6, it's equaled 6 my entire life, and it'll equal 6 until I'm dead. Insert whatever thing you're trying to correct somebody on. I'm sure all of us in this room know that 2 + 2 = 4. But it's difficult to talk to someone who thinks that they're always right. We don't need to be so prideful in our walk with God that we think we're always going the right way and we think we're always doing right, lest we end up behind the wrong 15-passenger van that looks like God, but the contents are far from it. If any of you are deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given to him. If you lack wisdom, ask of God. The King James says, who gives to all men liberally. If we want wisdom, all we have to do is ask our Father in heaven. He will give us the wisdom to know what to choose, to know what is life and what is death, what is the blessing and what is the cursing. He will give us the wisdom and the discernment to make the right decision. Many times, though, we just go off deciding stuff without even consulting God, because we think we're right. Those of you who know me and work around me, and I mean everybody in this room knows me, I pretty much think that I got a good way of doing stuff. And if you don't think so, you can talk to me about it and I'll explain why. But sometimes we have to put aside what we think and take on what God says is right. Get out of our own will, like Jesus said in Matthew, and take up His will and His way. Ask God for wisdom. How are we going to know what's life or death? We're going to pray and we're going to ask God, and we're not going to make a decision until we have peace and an answer. I was counseling someone the other day who is making a difficult decision, and I told him, we never make decisions out of fear. Don't make a decision because you're scared of the outcome if you don't make it. We make decisions out of faith. Well, if I totally give my heart to God, what's my family going to say? What are my kids going to think of me? They're going to think I'm some religious nut. What's going to happen? If I completely trust God with this area of my life that I've had walls built up for 10 years, what's going to happen if I let down my guard and let the Holy Spirit completely invade every area? Well, I'm just going to close off because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to turn out. So I'm just going to get my fire insurance, you know, ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins and sit on the sideline till the rapture. God wants us to not make decisions out of fear, but make decisions out of faith. Don't base your decisions in fear. Base your decisions on the Word of God. There is answers to be found in the Word of God. And if you read and study and ask God to show you as you're reading, He will. And you will begin to grow. Proverbs 24:4-7. Through skillful and godly wisdom is a house, a life, a home, a family built. And by understanding, it is established on sound and good foundation. So how are we going to build our life? How are we going to build our family? How are we going to build our home? Through skillful, godly wisdom. Well, how are we going to get skillful, godly wisdom? Well, we're going to get in the Word of God. We're going to pray and ask God for wisdom, and then we're going to read His Word and see what He said. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like putting together that furniture from Walmart or IKEA or wherever you get your put-together furniture from. Because they got all these pictures and diagrams and parts and pieces and A's and B's and Q's and R's, and you got to figure out how they join together. And many times, I just disregard the directions, look at all the pieces, and start putting. Now, there was one time where it got me in trouble. And if we disregard the instructions and just start putting stuff together, it's going to get us in trouble. But I was putting together this little bookcase, this little black bookcase in the office. And, you know, I figured, hey, I've done this before. I've put together these little cheapy bookcases. I can do it real quick, just a few screws. Got my screwdriver. We're good to go. So I start putting it together, and all of a sudden, there's not a hole where there's supposed to be a hole. I got a screw that's got to go in to put the shelf in, but there's not a hole. And I think, well, goodness, this factory done messed it up. They put this together wrong. Well, I'm just going to have to take this back and get my money back. But I already had it halfway together, and it was getting late into the night. And I said, no. I'm not going to take this back. I don't want to deal with all that stuff. But I can't believe this factory messed this thing up. And so I did what any red-blooded Southern American would do, and I went and grabbed the drill and the drill bit. And I thought, well, I'll just put a hole in here and make my own hole. This factory done messed it up. I'll fix it. So I go over to the shed, get the drill, get the little drill bit, come back over and start drilling into the wood. It splits a little bit, but not much. And I put it together. And I get it all put together, and then I look at it, and I realize that instead of the black seam being on the front, there's a flake board seam, and I'm like, oh, well, maybe it wasn't the factory's fault. Maybe I had this thing on backwards. And I'm like, well, I don't want it to look bad, so then I thought about just painting it and going with it. But then I thought, no, I'll do the right thing. So I took it all apart and started over again, had to bang out the little wood dowels that I put together. And you know what? It's together now the right way. There's an extra hole in one of the shelves. And there's a one spot where it's a little loose on the corner. See, I got myself in trouble because I went through life and I went through the process without reading the instructions. You and I will get ourselves in trouble if we go through the process of life without reading the instructions. Without getting in our Bible and reading how God says to do it. And then what we do is we start blaming the factory. Well, God, Why did you put this life together like this? Why did you give me this circumstance? Why did this happen, God? Why did you let that happen? If you love me so much. And then we get our drill out and we start drilling holes in stuff, trying to make stuff fit like we want it to fit. And then when we put it all together, it's not what the designer intended. God wants us, our life, to be as the designer intended. The designer did not intend for the flake board to show on that bookcase. That's why he put the holes in the other place. But I just went along without the instructions, thinking I was doing good, putting my stuff together. And the end thereof was destruction. Because I had to destroy the thing and start from scratch. You and I, if we don't follow the instructions, if we don't get out our pieces and line them up, A, B, C, D, get all of our screws and our screwdrivers out and get them all lined out, how we needed to put it together, you and I will end up like the designer did not intend. We'll end up blaming the factory for our mistakes. We need to follow God. We need to get His wisdom and build our house with His wisdom. Build our life with His wisdom. Build our family with His wisdom and be established on a sound, good foundation. Having our roots in Christ. And by knowledge, its chambers of every area, verse 4 of Proverbs 24, will be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong and better than a strong man. A man of knowledge increases and strengthens his power. You don't have to have physical strength as long as you have God's strength working in you. A wise man, a man who plants his life in Christ, is strong and better than a strong man. Verse 6, for by wise counsel you can wage war, and in abundance of counselors there's victory and safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He opens not his mouth at the gate where the city's rulers sit in judgment. Wisdom won't look right to everyone. Think about it when you're in high school. Hey, come to this party with me. We're going to have fun. We're going to go. We're going to get wasted. It's going to be a great time. Come on. Wisdom says, well, that's probably not wise. It's against the law to do all that when you're a teenager. Let me use some wisdom. But then everybody else is all upset. Why? Because you didn't come to the party. Wisdom tells us some things aren't that good for us. Some things are not expedient, as Paul said. Wisdom doesn't look good to everyone, but it looks good to the main one, and that is God. Lead our life by wisdom, the wisdom of the Word of God. You know, our small choices will lead to big consequences. We say to ourselves, you know, it's okay if I don't read my Bible today. It's not a big deal. And then another day goes by and we get busy. And because we slacked off one day, it's okay to slack off another day. And, well, I didn't have time to pray. It'll be okay. I'll pray tomorrow. And then these little choices start snowballing into bigger life events that pull us away from God. Song of Solomon 2:15 says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. It's little things that spoil the whole vine. We will, if we're not careful, we'll allow little things to spoil our connection to the vine of Jesus. In John 15, he said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. And if we're not careful, these little things will spoil our connection to the vine. Little choices have big consequences. Little choices have big consequences. Many of you know, that in 1994, we don't know what year it is, and the only way I know what year it is because of Dad. We were in a car accident. And it was because we were on our way to Grandma Doggett's house to the farm in Warren to pick peas. Oh, Lord, that was not a joyous occasion for me. I did not like to pick of the peas. No, no, no. So, and corn. And I didn't like shucking corn either. I just really wasn't into gardening that much when I was, I don't know, 12 or 13. So, we were on our way to Warren to pick peas in Grandma Doggett and Grandpa Doggett's garden. And usually when we got to the gravel part, because I was about the age that I was learning how to operate fine machinery like automobiles, my dad would let me come up in between the two captain's chairs in the van, and he would let me steer while he operated the gas. And we would just do it on the little country road on my way to Grandma Doggett's house. And so that morning I'd said, can I at least steer? Because I wasn't happy, and I was kind of throwing down about having to go pick these peas. I wasn't giving them too much of an attitude, but I was not joyous in the occasion. You know, I was like, can I at least steer? And Dad said, no, no, you can't today. And so I was all upset about that. We got on the country road, and we came to a blind curve, and a log truck came around on the wrong side of the road and hit our vehicle. You all know the story. Dad was in the hospital for 5 months. He almost died a couple of times. Mom was severely injured. My knee was injured. And so had I been in between the two captain's chairs and steering, I would have been thrown out of the vehicle and probably would have been killed. Little choices have big consequences. Me steering a vehicle doesn't seem like a big deal. But in the grand scheme of life, I might not even have been here today to tell you that story had that one little choice been made. Little choices have big consequences. What time we do things, the order in which we do things, the little choices that we make all lead to our character being built and all lead to the direction that God wants to take us. Those little choices to read your Bible every day are building character and integrity and honor in your life. Yeah, nobody knows if you do it. Nobody knows if you pray every day, just you and God. But your choice to be steadfast and unwavering and unmovable in that direction builds character and integrity and honor and builds discipline in our lives and will grow us up. You want to know how to grow? Discipline yourself to the Word of God. Get in the Word. Find out what God says and do it. Every decision that we make, we should consider the consequence. Using wisdom in our choices means that we live deeper than what we might want to, what we think, what we feel. Wisdom always chooses to do now what it will, be satisfied with later on. Last night, we deep cleaned our bedroom. Josh and I got in there and worked on it. And so, we had come to a point where he came over here to work on a few things, and I was still over at the house, and it wasn't quite done yet. And I knew that if I didn't get it done that night, the Lord only knows when it might get done. So, I continued to clean. I continued to scrub. I continued to organize. It was a mess, because since we moved in, after Dad passed, we just kind of threw everything in there and said, well, it's the bedroom, we'll deal with it later. And we dealt with all the other things first because we had to merge two households into one. And so it's finally to the point where we can make it look like a bedroom instead of a storage room. So, and I'm tailing off on this, I'm sorry, honey. But so I was cleaning and cleaning while he was over here doing some work on some things. And it was about, I don't know, 12 or 1 o'clock. And I was almost finished. And I thought, well, I'll just keep cleaning a little bit more. And then when I got it done, I thought, well, while I'm on this this bend, while I'm in this vein, I should just go ahead and clean the closet too. Now, I didn't get real deep with it, but we got it organized. Now, I could have just said, oh, I'll just do it next week. Oh, I'll just do it Monday or Tuesday. But I knew, my wisdom told me from the pattern of my schedule that while I had time blocked off for it, I better make hay because I don't know when I'll have time blocked off for this again. So wisdom said, keep going while you got the time blocked off. Wisdom says, read your Bible now so you don't get distracted later. Wisdom says, get in His Word and apply it now rather than waiting to apply it later. Wisdom. We need godly wisdom. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow Himself to be sneered and scorned and disdained and mocked, or His precepts set aside. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. What we sow, we reap. So if we sow the right things, then we will reap them. Just think about it. If we sow good character and good discipline and good integrity in our life, we'll begin to reap it. Discipline is difficult. If any of you have ever tried to lose weight, you know discipline is difficult. Salads, rabbit food is yummy, but pizza is better. Now, I had some good rabbit food yesterday. Balsamic honey dressing, homemade over. Never mind, I'm getting hungry. I need to stop. And I got cube steak when we get home. Fried potatoes are yummy. But steamed and baked potatoes with little butter and little sour cream produce the results that you want. Or maybe some sauteed kale. We have to make a choice. Choose to discipline ourselves. Choose to do now what we know that we need to do, not put it off later. Have you ever had a project that was just eating at you and you kept putting it off and you kept putting it off and you kept putting it off and then you started feeling guilty about it and every time you walked by that area of your house, you just felt down about yourself? That was our bedroom. When we choose to take care of first things first, what did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of heaven and His way of doing things and His righteousness. And then all things will be added unto you. Put first things first. Verse 8, for if he sows to his own flesh, his sensual nature, he'll of his flesh reap decay and destruction. If he sows from the Spirit, he'll reap eternal life. Do not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and appointed season, we will reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. Don't grow weary in doing well. Don't grow weary in doing what you know to do is right. Keep on doing right if nobody else does it. Why? Because your mama always told you, if everybody else jumps off a bridge, are you going to jump off a bridge? And I know some smart aleck little children that would have said, yeah. I was not one of those. Bless the Lord. I wanted to say yeah sometimes, but I knew better. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't grow weary in doing first things first. Why? Because in the appointed season, we will reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. The greatest way to get over a bad series of choices in your life is to start making a good series of choices. Because those good series of choices will start building momentum in your life. Let's go back to how we eat. If you want to break the habit of drinking soda, I did that and for 5 or 6 years I stayed off of soda and I have taken back on the habit. But if you want to quit, this is what you do. You just stop. And every time you see soda, you make a decision to stop. and not drink it. And you continue to make that decision, even if you have a headache from caffeine withdrawals, even if you just crave it. Why? Because it's got all kinds of chemicals that attach to all the nerve endings under your body and make you want it really bad. It gives you that surge of energy, that spike of sugar, and then the crash 3 hours later, so you want another spike of sugar, so you go get another soda. Now, I'm not telling you if you drink soda, you're going to hell. That's not what we're saying here. But I'm saying that if you make decisions daily, little decisions to say no daily to things that aren't good, then they will snowball into a better lifestyle for you. Now, I'm not telling you to stop soda because I drank one last night. But I'm telling you, if you want your life to go towards the things of God, make a little decisions every day that will snowball into bigger life events that push you in the direction of God. Get in your Bible every day, not out of obligation, but because you desire to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Pray every day. Worship every day. Not because we have to, but because we're moving on to something greater than ourselves. Because we're doing things now so that it will snowball into bigger events later in our life. John 8:31-32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, if you hang out in my word, if you spend time in my word and hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you have some things that are burdening you down, some hurts of the past or junk from your past that you can't get forgiveness on, if you have things that you feel like you keep on doing repetitively, like the children of Israel, you're just going around that mountain one more time. If you abide, spend time, dig into God's Word and His teachings, and live in accordance with them, you will know the truth, and the knowledge of the truth and the application of the truth will set you free. You can't change by yourself. Only God can give you the strength to change. And that strength to change comes from getting in His Word. Proverbs 3:5-8. Lean on, trust in, be confident in the Lord with all of your heart and mind. Don't rely on your own insight. Don't rely on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God, and He will direct and make plain your path. Verse 7. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear and worship the Lord, like we talked about last week. Turn entirely away from evil. It shall be health to your nerves and your sinews. Do you got some nerve problems? People getting on your nerves? Lean on the Lord. It will be health to your nerves and marrow to your bones. Jeremiah 17:5-8. Cursed with evil is the strong man who trusts on the other men. Don't put your trust in other men. People will fail you. I love you, but there might be a time in our relationship where I will fail you and miss the mark. And I apologize in advance for that because that's not my intention. But you can't follow people. You got to follow God. You can't worship a person. Make all your decisions based on people and their opinions. We got to follow God. We got to follow God. Verse 7 of Jeremiah 17. Blessed is the man who believes in and trusts on and relies in the Lord, and whose hope and confidence is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the water. Where have we heard that? Psalm chapter 1. Who spreads out its roots by the river. He shall not see fear when the heat comes, but his leaf shall be green. It shall not be anxious or full of care, even in the year of drought, nor shall it cease yielding fruit. And finally, as we close this morning, 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. Don't become discouraged, exhausted, wearied out through fear. Though your outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, your inner man, your spirit self, is being progressively renewed day after day. And we read over and over in the Bible where that renewal comes by the washing of the water of the Word. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And then it goes on to say that the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. We need the Word in our life. That's the only way we grow. That's the only way we go. That's the only way we don't get discouraged in our well-doing. Verse 17, for our light affliction, and if you read Paul's teachings and his writings, he had more than a light affliction. He was going through some stuff. And yet he calls it a light affliction, a momentary affliction. The distress of the passing hour is ever more and maybe more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory beyond all measure. Since we consider and look not on the things which we see in this earth, but we look to the things that are unseen. For the things which are visible are temporal and fleeting, but the things which are invisible are everlasting. Quit looking at the here and now and get prepared for the hereafter. Quit looking at the distractions and the things that are going on that would discourage you and bring you down right now. And be like that consistent, that unyielding, disciplined child of God who daily chooses, who daily does, who daily studies, who daily keeps on keeping on doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do, not because other people are doing it. Doing the right thing despite culture, going against culture, going against even religious teachings that we've been taught from the time that we're little, because we're daily doing the Word of God, not just some religious stuff we heard when we were five, but we're doing it because our heart has been pricked by the Word, and we have His wisdom, and we start walking in His commands, not because grandma did it, not because our mom and dad told us to do it, but because we want to get close to Him. We want to live to make Him look good. We desire that one-on-one relationship with Him, so we worship Him, and we praise Him, and we thank Him, not out of some religious act or mess, but because we desire a connection with the living God. Discipleship is all about that connection with Christ. Being connected to the vine. Not doing the little things that mess up and spoil the vine. Not doing the little things that get us off track. That get us on the wrong caravan to the wrong destination. Because a lot of things look like God, but once you dig inside of them, God is not in it. Let's grow. Let's dig in. Let's live to make God look good. Let's grow up. Let's move forward. Let's not be the person outside looking in, not being a person in the crowd, not just being some good person that volunteers and gives back. But let's go deeper with God and cleave to Him and be His disciple, be in His tribe, be close to Him, follow Him wherever He leads, following His example. Let's stand. God, we thank You, Father, for the opportunity to love and serve You. God, I pray that we would not do the things that would destroy our connection to the vine. God, help us to dig in and hang on and cleave to You, not letting go, not turning loose, not getting distracted by the world or the things of it. Help us to wholly follow You, living to make You look good.
Thank you for joining us today. We would love to hear from you. You can write to us at Post Office Box 1004. That's P.O. Box 1004, Monticello, Arkansas, 71657. Or you can email us at lci.monticello@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. You can also check out our website. It's www.getlife.co. That's www.getlife.co. There you can find Pastor Kelly and Pastor Josh's sermon notes, and you can see what's going on all through the week at Life Church. We would love to have you in one of our services with us. Join us Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. for our worship service. Pastor Kelly ministers, and it's a great time in the presence of God.
Or you can join us for Digging Deep on Tuesday nights at 6:30 p.m. Pastor Josh digs into the Word of God, connecting the Old Testament with the New Testament and giving us a fresh biblical perspective from God's point of view. We hope that you have a great week this week. Remember, go live to make God look good. God bless you till we're with you again.